I want to make a proposition to the Hill sisters. If they will come and join Pilgrim's Hope Baptist Church, if Victory won't grant them a letter, we'll take them on Burger King coupons. So, I invite your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51 through 58. My subject, as you know, is how many times will Christ return? While you're turning there, I want to add a footnote to last night's message. When we left here, Brother Mike went to my room, and we got on the internet, and we went to the Preterist Archive, and I learned something new about preterism. This fellow said that Christ and the apostles were not satisfied with the second coming that took place in 70 A.D. And he restated it, said Christ was not satisfied with the coming that took place in 70 A.D. Now, I don't know where he was going from there. We looked down, and neither one of us could figure out what he was saying. But I don't think Christ has ever done anything he wasn't satisfied with. But anyway, that's some more of that preposterous preterism. John, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58, passage of Scripture known and loved by all true believers in Jesus Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I have some other scriptures that I want to read for as going along with this. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I'm sorry, I have the wrong verse down there. John chapter 14 and verse 3. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. I show you a mystery. Oh, I'm sorry. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And finally, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I've read several scriptures, and I hope that you've noticed the several similarities in some of these scriptures. Four mention the sounding of a trumpet at the return of Christ, and one of these says that it will be the last trumpet. And another says that it will be the seventh angel sounding the seventh trumpet. We'll look at this more in a moment. More than one of these scriptures mentioned that his coming will be with clouds as he went away. We'll consider that also a little later. These scriptures teach that his coming will be public and open. Every eye shall see him. He will come unexpectedly as a thief in the night, but when he does come, it will be known by all. It appears to me that these scriptures are unanimous in the teaching that Christ is coming again, not again and again. In 1985, I was reading an article on the pre-tribulation coming of Christ by Brother Joe Wilson, who recently passed away. Brother Joe held the pre-trib view of the second coming, but to his credit, in the Baptist Examiner, dated July 27, 1985, he said, there is not a verse of Scripture which explicitly teaches this. He admitted there was no Scripture that explicitly taught a pre-trib coming of Christ. Some of my very dear friends and brethren hold that Christ comes in the air and catches his saints up into the air and then goes back to heaven and sets up and judges the saved at the judgment seat of Christ. After 7 years, he leaves heaven with his saints and comes to the earth. I hope they are right, but I see some problems with this. Jesus never mentioned that he would come two more times. Nor did he ever mention that he would come again in two phases. About 18 years ago, roughly, I had just kind of drifted to the pre-trib coming of Christ. And when I say pre-trib, I'm not being critical. I may refer to post-trib or mid-trib, and I'm not being critical in any of these things. I repeat, I hope that the pre-trib coming is right. But Jesus never mentioned that he would come in two phases, and so about 18 or so years ago, I made up my mind that once and for all, I was going to come to a settled position on the time of the return of Christ. So what I did is I made a thorough study of the pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib coming idea. I looked at the strong points of each view and the weaknesses of each view. I spent several months making this study. When I was asked to speak on this subject, I was glad that about 3 years, all of my notes were burned when our building burned. But about 3 or 4 years ago, I bought Brother Oscar Mink's entire library. And there were some of his books that were already boxed up when I got to his house and looked at his library and couldn't make him a deal on the books I wanted to buy out of it, so I made him a deal for the whole library. One of the last boxes of books that I opened, right in the bottom of it, was my notes. I'd given a set of them to Brother Oscar Mink. All but the first page was still there. I don't know what happened to the first page. It got torn off. It was stapled together. And I meant to bring them with me this morning. I brought them to the conference with me in case I wanted to review some things, but I knew I wouldn't have time. Jesus will come again at the sounding of a trumpet. The glorified saints will be caught up into the air to meet and be with the Lord. And this will happen with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17. He said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God," with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." It's a very similar situation in the book of Acts, and I meant to get the exact scripture last night and add it to my notes, and I forgot to. But there's a situation in the book of Acts where Paul is coming to a certain city, and some of the saints in that city go out to meet him, and I believe it's at a tavern that they meet him, and then they come back into the city with him. And some of the language that's used there is very similar to the language used about our being caught up into the air and then Christ coming to the earth. According to the Apostle Paul, the gathering together of their saints and their glorification will be at the sounding of the last trumpet. I mentioned this on the way down here, and Brother Lee, of course, he and I agree basically, I think, on what I'm going to preach. But I mentioned this last trumpet, and he said, "Which last trumpet?" We've studied here in this conference, and it's been said by nearly every speaker, words mean things. When the Apostle Paul said, "at the last trump," did he mean the last trump? Now, I don't think anybody here questions, but he's talking about coming for the saints in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58, and he says that's going to occur at the last trump. Read with me, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 57. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I won't read the rest of it for the sake of time, but I want you to see that he says it's going to take place at the last trump. Now in 1 Corinthians 4, it was at the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Here it's at the last trump, "for the trumpet shall sound." He goes on to say, now according to Jesus, this sounding of this trumpet will be at the end of the tribulation period. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 through 31, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels." We read about the voice of the archangel. He'll send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one heaven, end of heaven, to the other. Now, when Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15 that it's the last trump, that the gathering of the saints and their and the changing of their mortal bodies to immortality and so forth, he uses the Greek word eschatos, from which the word eschatology comes, which, according to Strong and one other person that I looked at, I didn't look at all of them, but Strong says this means the last in time or in place. The last in a series of places. The last in temporal succession. Another scholar says the last in time or the last in a series or both. Now the last trump that shall sound in a series and in time is the trumpet found in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, and in chapter 11. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. At the last trump, this is going to happen. Then he says, Revelation 10, 7 says, that the mystery of God shall be finished when the seventh trumpet begins to sound. Now there's too many similarities. Let me go a little further before I stop. We hear more about the sounding of this seventh trumpet in Revelation 11. Brother Mike used that earlier this morning, verse 15 through 19. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Now you've got the beginning of the sounding of the seventh trumpet in chapter 10, verse 7. And that's the last trump in a series and the last trump in time. And here, as this seventh trumpet is sounding, they begin to praise and say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, ushering in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. To use Brother Kohler's term, the preponderance of the evidence, and that's a good term. I'd planned to use it before he used it. The preponderance of the evidence is that Christ will come at the sounding of the last trumpet, that last trumpet is named in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 and chapter 11, that it will be with the voice of the archangel, and it'll be the trump of God and so forth. Let me add that Paul adds in another place that our gathering together with the Lord will not occur until after the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed. 2 Thessalonians, Brother Lee used this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Now there's no doubt what he's talking about here. It's by our gathering together unto Him. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, and so forth. He said that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Paul said, no matter where you get the information, don't let it move you. as that day, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That day when we're gathered together with him shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Paul said our gathering together with Christ is not going to occur until after the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because my next thought is how this position harmonizes with a lot of other things. But if I remember right from the book of Daniel, that the man of sin is going to come. He's going to establish a covenant of peace with Israel. He will not be revealed until the middle of the tribulation. He'll not show his true colors until the middle of the tribulation. So it appears to me that at least the saints would have to be around until the middle of the tribulation. But since it says the last trump, then you have to go further than that. I just have 2 points. I don't know if I'll last for my time. Oh, yeah, I've got 2 points. The harmony of this position that I've just set forth. I think everybody understands where I'm coming from, what position I'm holding. First of all, it harmonizes with the fact that Jesus promised to come again, not again and again. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. One coming. Secondly, it harmonizes with the fact that one can find no scripture in all of the Bible that explicitly teaches a two-phase coming of Christ separated by 7 or 3.5 years. Thirdly, it keeps us from having to explain 2 last trumpets. That's a contradiction of terms. Which last trumpet will Christ come at? Well, I just believe there's just 1 last trumpet. And I believe that trumpet is clearly set forth in Revelation 10 and 11. So I don't have to explain, Brother Lee. And Brother Lee was being facetious. He is challenging me to. He said, "Which last trumpet?" So I'd ask you, if you disagree with what I've set forth, then which last trumpet will Christ come at for the saints? And then how can you explain that there'll be another trumpet later, if that's the last one? You see, it delivers you from having to try to explain which last trumpet, in case you run into Brother Lee. Now, Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31 talks about the sounding of a trumpet. And the heaven, and then shall, Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the 4 winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I believe that's the same trumpet that's found in 1 Corinthians 15. This position that I've set forth harmonizes with the fact that Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, teaches that the resurrection of the saints and the resurrection of the damned will be separated by a literal 1,000 years, not 1,007. When I taught this at church I pastored in Louisiana, and I said, now I want to know, you believe that's a literal 1,000 years that separates the resurrection of the saints, the first resurrection and the second resurrection? And everybody said, amen. I said, then it couldn't be 1,007 years. If it's a literal 1,000 years, it can't be 1,007 years. Or 1,003.5 years. It harmonizes. I'm not going to reread Revelation 20. I think we've probably got it most memorized, both pretty much memorized by now. It harmonizes with the fact that the Antichrist will wear out the saints during the tribulation period before the Jewish remnant will be saved. Daniel 7:25, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. Who are those saints that he's wearing out during the first part of the tribulation period? It harmonizes with the fact that not one scripture teaches that the fullness of the Gentiles will come in 7 years before the elect remnant of Israel is saved. Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. This position that I've set forth clarifies the identity of the innumerable multitude from all nations that comes out of the great tribulation. Revelation 7:9-17. After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence comest they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and sitteth on the throne, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their life. Go to Revelation 5:9, that new song that they sung. Where are those people from? They're out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, just like these people are. I believe they're the same folks. This position that I've set forth harmonizes with the fact that Jesus will come in the air and be met by his glorified saints, and will then with them descend to this earth. It's clear that we'll be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In conclusion, Christ's first coming to the earth was a one-phase coming. Not two or three phases. When Christ ascended into heaven, his ascension was in one phase. They watched him as he was taken up into heaven. Nothing about him getting up there so far and stopping for a while and then going on. And this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. If his ascension was one phase, if he comes in like manner as you have seen him go, then his coming again must be in one phase. When Jesus comes again at the sounding of the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 10 and 11, every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am not dogmatic about my position. I don't have all the answers. But after I restudied the matter about 18 years ago, I came to the conclusion that Brother Mike was right. When I was his pastor and he came to that position. And I didn't restudy it because of him. I just wanted to kind of get on a position I could settle on. And I felt like the weight, the preponderance of the evidence, both for and against it, was on the side of this position. Christ will come again one time, a one phase coming. And when he comes, every eye shall see him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.